Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Bears Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined as always by the former Bear quarterback. You see him on Bears pregame and postgame live, Mr. Jim Miller. What's up, Jimmy?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. And, well, let's start with not so happy news up at Hallis Hall this week. You would think coming off a win, it would be all hunky-dory, but not exactly that. Report this week that Vic Fangio and John Fox, their relationship is strained, and that Fangio may be on his way out at the end of the season. The two had to deny that on Wednesday of this week. From your perspective, what did you make of the report and then how everybody handled it?
I don't know how accurate the report is. I mean, I think we all know everything's always evaluated at the end of every season. And to think that Vic Fangio hasn't done a good job would be ridiculous. You know, here you go a couple years ago, they were the last ranked defense in the league. They're top 10 now. They're actually top 7, you know, when you look at their defense overall. So I think Vic Fangio has done a good job. I think reports out there, if there are some other coaching availabilities, I would think Vic Fangio's name would be in the mix. It's not always just about the young, hot up-and-comer. Vic Fangio knows football.
You could argue that Vic Fangio has been the stabilizing force over the first 2 years of John Fox. You know, transitioning to a 3-4 hybrid,
right?
Dealing with all the injuries this year, the suspensions. I mean, to me, this isn't about what's going on the field. This is really going on behind closed doors, how John Fox and Vic are relating as head coach and DC. I mean, that's the way you see this, right?
Yeah, that's the way I could see it. I mean, I think always there's going to be philosophical differences. I mean, if you go back in time, John Fox always been a 4-3 guy, but here he tags Fangio to come in here and put in a 3-4. So I think there's been a lot of latitude given from that respect, where John Fox says, hey, you're the coach, you're going to do it your way, we know what you want to implement and go about your business. So I think, you know, he's had a lot of latitude, would be my take of Vic Fangio. Probably from the personnel standpoint, I would think he'd want to address some other areas when you look at Vic Fangio, and maybe that could be a sticking point, because to me there are some players that really, they're a square peg in a round hole in the Bears defense.
So, you know, one thing that came out Wednesday was when they asked Vic Fangio point blank, do you want to be back next year? And he said, uh-huh. Didn't exactly sound like a ringing endorsement. But they also talked to Fox, and Fox said, I'd like to bring everybody back. Now, look, he has to say that, even if he is going to make some changes. It just seems odd to be talking about the defensive coordinator when all eyes point to the OC, Dowell Loggins, as the weaker link of this big picture.
Yeah, well, and that could be the case, you know, because really, you know, when defense is straining, normally your offense tries to pick it up. You know, coaches work with each other that way too, you know, so you look at how the Bears offense has lagged all year long, and there may be a strained relationship from that standpoint, whether it's the OC and DC going at it, say, hey, help us out a little bit on this side of the ball. So that could be going on. I've been in situations where that's happened before, but I would think for consistency, John Fox would want this entire staff to come back. I think when you've seen both Hoyer in there and Matt Barkley, and at times even Jay, I thought the offense overall functioned pretty good. Where they have failed is scoring points is the issue, and obviously guys lining up consistently every week has been a problem.
What about offensive play calling? If you had to give a grade right now to Dowell Loggins, just from a play calling standpoint, what would it be?
I'd say a C+. And I think he's gotten better as it's gone along. With everything that he's had to deal with, he's still a very young play caller coming from Tennessee. He's been around it. Now it's his first year really doing the job. But every week he's gotten better, in my opinion, adapting to the players that are available and now finding the identity of the offense, which I thought he took too long to get to Jordan Howard as a playmaker in this offense. So, we'll you know, that could probably go up if he continues on the role that he's been.
Take a look back to what Matt Barkley has done here. You know, a solid half and a drive against the Niners, a good quarter against Tennessee. That's kind of that's what you have to look at so far. If we're in evaluation mode and you're saying, okay, the backup quarterback for next season, do you want to see Barkley and Hoyer and Shaw all battle it out, or realistically should just two come?
I think one should be re-signed, one should be drafted, and another one should be signed in free agency. That's what I think should be the makeup of the Bears quarterbacks next year. You know, because I think if you look at Hoyer, he's probably a bridge. Connor Shaw hasn't really played enough, so there's much unknown about him. Obviously, Dow Loggins likes him, so maybe he's the leader in the clubhouse. But Brian Hoyer has won games in the NFL.
Yeah. Okay, from your vantage point, it sounds like you would lean to Hoyer. Mm-hmm. Hoyer, he's a 20-20 quarterback. Moves the team
right.
20-20. Red zone has some issues. Not really. He likes to go horizontal and not a lot of vertical. Where I think Barkley has the edge in the vertical passing game. So how would you weigh those two? And again, Shaw looked great in that preseason game, but it's like how much can
right.
you put?
Yeah, it's hard to judge him because there's just not enough a body of work
right.
for him. For Matt Barkley, obviously how he finishes, he's off to a good start. He's been a very accurate thrower is how I look at him. I've been more impressed with his arm strength. I think it's not overpowering, but it's above average, I think, in terms of his arm strength. And I'll just see how he closes. If he goes out this week against Detroit and throws three interceptions in crucial situations, we're feeling good about him. But I think our opinions would turn pretty quickly. I feel comfortable if they were to approach Brian Hoyer, go out and sign a veteran like Mike Glennon, let those guys compete for the starting spot, and then draft a guy. And ultimately, they're going to be just holding the seat warm until the draft pick's ready to play.
On this podcast about a month ago, when the Vikings began their slide and Green Bay was reeling, you said Detroit looked to be the best team to win the North.
Yep.
Obviously, they're in that top spot right now. For the first time all season long, they didn't come from behind last week. That was a statement game against the Saints, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely, because their defense has been coming on stronger because Haloti Ngata is finally healthy from his shoulder. Ziggy Ansah is finally healthy from an ankle sprain. Darius Slay is finally back on the field. He had the big interception against Minnesota Thanksgiving Day to end that game. And if they get back the final piece, DeAndre Levy, which is supposedly the word on the street, they're going to be pretty formidable. They've got a high-powered offense with Matthew Stafford, who's more polished. He doesn't have the boneheaded turnovers he's had in the past. Running game is lacking significantly for Detroit. They just signed Joique Bell back to the roster. They can't run the ball that well, but also a young offensive line that is starting to play much better.
You know, in many ways, at the start of this season, you could have said, you know, that the Lions and the Bears mirror each other. I would give the edge to Stafford over Cutler, but, you know, they added some pieces with Calvin Johnson leaving.
Right.
But a lot of uncertainty on the O-line, the running game that has been in question for years, and defensively trying to find themselves. Like you could almost say, like, between those two, who would you take? And maybe at the beginning of the season, based on what I saw last year, I would have maybe said, you know, the Bears have a shot if their defense comes together the way, you know, the improvements at linebacker, whatnot.
Right.
But lo and behold, I mean, other than, you know, the Bears beating in the first time around, there's a large gap between these
well,
two.
Well, here the Bears got to run their offense through the run game in Jordan Howard. And it's been the total opposite since the Detroit has lost Calvin Johnson. They have more weapons offensively. Even though they're not running the ball, they do some interesting things with Theo Riddick in the passing game. Essentially, they're run calls, but they're just throwing them the football. But Eric Ebron has really stepped up as a tight end. Marvin Jones, I think, has been a good stretch of the field receiver. Golden Tate is who he is. So they've had some guys emerge where it's not always funneled through Calvin Johnson like it was in the past. There's more people that you have to defend, not just one of them.
And there was talk that John Fox wanted Jim Bob Cooter to be his OC here.
I think he did.
It turns out that, you know, he might be the most valuable coordinator in the NFC North as you look at it, because he's taken a group that has some pieces on the offensive side, but he's really brought them together in a hurry.
I agree with that. I think, you know, when Jim Caldwell took over as head coach for Jim Schwartz, that was the thinking, that they were going to put the polish on Matthew Stafford. And it wasn't with Joe Lombardi. It was as soon as Jim Bob Cooter took over. Man, it's been like quarterback magic. I mean, he has played since Cooter has taken over. I mean, he literally has had like 22 touchdowns compared to only like four interceptions. So even this year, you look at this run he's on right now, the last four games, I think it's 14 touchdowns and one pick. He's got 21 touchdowns on the year with five interceptions. He has been he's playing lights out. This last game against New Orleans, I went back and watched the game. He crushed the blitz. Every blitz that New Orleans brought, which was over 50% of the time, first down, second down, third down, Matthew Stafford was all over it and gutted it. So he is playing much sharper at a high level.
Coming up, we'll get down to the X's and O's about this matchup. We'll get Jim's prediction between the Lions and the Bears. But up next on the Bear Talk podcast, we send it over to Mark Schanowski.
Warm up for every Bears game 1 hour before kickoff with Bears Pregame Live.
Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Jim Miller, and host Chris Bowden get you ready for kickoff and have instant reaction on Bears Postgame Live immediately following the game.
The best Bears coverage in the city is on CSN Chicago.
Mark Schanowski back on the Bears Talk podcast, joined as always by former Bears middle linebacker Brian Urlacher. How about that defensive effort against the 49ers? They held their quarterbacks to a grand total of 6 yards passing. That's getting it done.
That's pretty good. You won a lot of games doing that. You know, the weather played a factor in that. But it was a fun game for the Bears. Those games are fun at Soldier Field. When you get the snow coming down like that, you can only run the ball. Those are good times.
Seems like they had a very good game plan coming in. They ran the ball. They also controlled the game on defense. When you have a matchup of two teams that are struggling, you never know which team is going to be up for it. A lot of credit to the players and coaches for coming out with that kind of an effort.
Yeah, you're not playing for anything. Ran the ball well. Jordan Howard, 32 carries, 100-something yards. Barkley's playing well. You know, he's taking care of the football. Mm-hmm. He did this week at least. Couldn't do a lot because of the weather, but they took care of the football and they ran it really well and played great defense.
Let's talk more about that defense. Another big game for rookie Leonard Floyd. He was coming back from head and neck injuries he suffered in that loss to the Giants a couple of weeks ago. But he had two more sacks. He's got seven on the season. And, Brian, it seems like his confidence continues to grow each and every game.
Yeah, he's playing well. You know, we've said all season long, he's athletic. Now I think Steve's starting to figure out what he's doing, getting in the right spots, looks comfortable, confident, flying around. Coaches figure out where to put him, make him more successful. But, you know, he's just going to get better and better the more he plays. I don't think he's really hit the rookie wall because he has been out a few games. Mm-hmm. So he's still pretty much fresh for the most part.
And we talk about him paired up with Willie Young and Pernell McPhee. That's a pretty good pass rushing trio.
That's a good trio right there of players. You know, they keep those three guys together for a little bit longer. Who knows what can happen? You know, get them together next year and kind of get some camaraderie going between them.
People are looking for comparisons. One of your former teammates, Mark Anderson, holds the Bears rookie record. He had 12 sacks in 2006. It was very impressive that season. Similar body types, but do you see any similarities between these two and how they go about their tasks?
Very similar body types. Mark was about 6'4", 6'5". He was a little bit heavier than Leonard is. Mark had mainly third down player. He would come in on third and seven and above and just rush the quarterback. So most of his sacks were on third down. I'm sure Leonard has more plays on defense than Mark did his rookie year, but both getting the job done.
And Floyd has more versatility. You know, he can play that linebacker position. He's not a hand-on-the-ground rusher.
He was more athletic than Mark was. Sorry, Mark, but he's a little more athletic than Mark was. You know, as you can tell by their draft status, I think Mark was a fourth or fifth round pick, and Leonard, of course, a first round pick. So Leonard can do it all. He can run. He can drop if he needs to. But he's really playing well right now.
Well, you had a great game against the Lions back in 2005. I don't remember this. You had
just
a couple
one?
Of sacks against Joey Harrington.
We
just picked this one.
Well, I only played it 26 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get blocked there. It's pretty, you know, it's tough when they don't block you to get sacks. Mike Brown was still there, AB. Wow.
Where did the Lions rank in terms of division rivals? Did you think that the Vikings and Packers were more important, or was it all about the same?
They're about the same, but the Vikings and the Packers were always better. You know, the Lions had a couple good years, but the Vikings and the Packers were always just better.
And we didn't want to shortchange you. It's just that's the video we found.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's
good. Two lucky sacks I lucked into. Good coverage by the guys in the back end.
Well, here's something I know you'll enjoy talking about. Good news for your alma mater. The New Mexico Lobos don't have to travel far for their bowl game. They are playing in the Gildan New Mexico Bowl on December 17th against Texas San Antonio. Well, what a great second half of the season They just destroyed Wyoming.
I know.
56-35, finish 8-4.
I feel like they scored on every other play the first half. They had like a 70-yard run, an 80-yard run. Unbelievable how, you know, they run the triple option or the dive, quarterback pitch, all that good stuff. But they played great this year, 8-4. I thought, not that this is a bad bowl game to be in, but, you know, when you don't want to play a bowl game in your home stadium, mm-hmm. you want to go somewhere and actually enjoy the bowl week, go do some things out in a city you've never been to. But great for them, 8-4. I'm very excited for our program right now.
So what you're saying is they won't be lounging by the pool and enjoying the palm trees.
They will not be, yeah. Well, you know, you think of a bowl game, you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to get to go to Miami or Florida or maybe Arizona, somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. decently warm weather. But they're in a bowl game. Yeah, yeah. It's 2 years in a row we played in this bowl, by the way.
Yeah. Exciting. Well, at least they know the way to the stadium. There won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Next, Pat and Jim with more on Sunday's game against the Lions.
Chicago Bears Pro Bowl linebacker Lance Briggs is making his return to CSN Chicago this season.
Briggs and host Pat Boyle dissect from the Bears' previous game and look ahead to the next.
Don't miss the Lance Briggs Show, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. on CSN Chicago.
Back on the Bears Talk podcast with Jim Miller, I am Pat Boyle. All right, let's get into this. Lions have revenge on their mind after losing at Soldier Field. You may chalk that one up as they just thought they could show up and win that game. They've been on a roll since. Big win against the Saints last week. How do you see things shaking down at Ford Field?
I do like the Lions in this matchup. I think it's going to be difficult for the Bears to match up against Eric Ebron with the issues at the linebacker spot. I think Marvin Jones, I don't think there's a DB the Bears have that can run with him stride for stride. Porter's been banged up with the knee. Callahan maybe can keep him at bay, but then it becomes Golden Tate work in the middle. And like I said, Theo Riddick, tell me what linebacker, if they put Theo Riddick on an angle route or split him out, that is going to run with Theo Riddick step for step. I think it's going to be the Bears defense. They'll keep the scoring down, but I think it's going to be tough to hold down Detroit with the level they're playing at offensively right now.
As you take a look at that Bears defense, what, 6 sacks last week?
Yeah.
Again, it was the Niners. It was in the snow. Mm-hmm. Akeem Hicks coming on strong. Also, Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
I heard a conversation that for NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, he could find himself in that discussion if he puts together a couple of more big games and maybe gets to double digits in sacks. Do you put him in that type of discussion?
I don't think so because he's missed so much time.
Yeah, that's
how I would look at it. And there's some other rookies out there that are playing extremely well right now. But Floyd, even from training camp to preseason to now regular season, to me has missed too much time in order to put him in that discussion. But Maybe goes on a 10-sack run. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll find out.
If you're looking at it from Matt Barkley's perspective, is there an area that they should try to exploit against this Detroit defense?
I think the middle backer issue is a problem with no DeAndre Levy. That's probably their one area where they can be attacked good. Secondary is above average. Like I said, they finally have gotten healthy again. I don't think I think Glover Quinn is a really good player, and I like the way Slay's playing right now. Quadre Diggs is still a young player that maybe the Bears could exploit. So I still look at Marquise Wilson. To me, he's got to be the receiver that steps up. If you look at Josh Bellamy, the way he's just had too many drops. Even in last week's game,
I know.
He should have had 2 touchdowns.
I know.
Drops the post, the one corner route bow route. If he just runs under the football and runs through the ball, it's a touchdown. Matt Barkley should have had about 350 last week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Bellamy, you know, he did have
the crutches. He jumps for the ball.
Yeah. What's going on? Jumps when he doesn't need to jump.
Because he's not confident in his hands.
Gotcha.
He tries to use his body as a backstop rather than, you know, again, I know he's doing double duty because he's more of a special teams player, but this is your time. This is your time to shine. You gotta show the ability that you can improve and make those plays and obviously not have that crutch of jumping for the football.
You kind of tipped your cap, but one last time, how do you see the final score shakedown at Ford Field?
I think it's going to be low scoring. Well, you know, early, you know, low 20s is what I see it. So I think the Bears can get there. I think it's like 24-20, something like that. But the Lions pull away and get the victory.
We'll see you on Bears pregame live and postgame live on CSN on Sunday. That'll do it for the Bears Talk podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcast. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow us at CSN Bears, where every episode is posted along with all your daily Bears talk, news, and stories.